And welcome back to Mass Monologues. Today I have with me Vivian. Can you introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about how long you've been writing for and why you started?
So my name is Vivian, and I'm a writer and a poet, and I recently published my book, In the Space Between, and it's a poetry book, which is currently available on Amazon. I actually started writing, I think I've been writing for as long as I can remember. It's something that I've always really enjoyed, pursued a lot of activities and opportunities all throughout high school, university, and currently in my full-time job right now as well. Poetry is actually something really new for me. I may have dabbled in it very infrequently a few years ago, but I would say that in the last couple of months, just with the publication of my poetry book, that I've been writing a lot more lately. So it's still very much a new venture for me.
Can you tell me when you published your book and around how long it took you to compile everything together and just create a finished product?
Yeah, so I actually started writing the book around November. And it's actually a funny story because I was going through something personal in my life. And poetry just unexpectedly became that kind of creative outlet where I really processed my emotions. And I was writing so much poetry, talking to my friends about it, and they encouraged me to publish a book. And I wasn't really serious about it. And then after a while of looking back at all the poetry pieces and just hearing the great feedback from people, I decided to pursue it seriously. And I found out through a friend that Amazon does self-publishing.
Yeah.
So then I looked into that and realized that it was pretty straightforward. So I really started that process in November. I already had pretty much all the poetry. It was just a matter of putting it together in a book. And then once I submitted it around like February, it took about 72 hours for Amazon to really review everything and make sure everything looks good. And it went live, I would say, the third week of February. So it's still very new. It's been like less than 2 months.
Yes. Now, I love how you just took your friend's advice and you said, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to publish this because I've been working on it for a while and I have all this content that I can put into a book. Can you tell me, just putting the book together, since you already had all the poetry and the writings, how did you go about organizing them, keeping poems that you thought were good quality and then just disregarding those that you thought might not be up to par?
That's a good question. When I was writing my poetry, I was pretty candid about it in the sense that I find that sometimes when you're writing, you can tend to get in a space where you really judge your writing. And for me, with the poetry that I was writing, all the emotions that came out were very much free-flowing. I tried not to put any parameters around it, and I just wrote the way that you would write a journal entry, as an example. But with poetry, you don't have those parameters. You can just be as open as you want. You don't have to rhyme either. And I think that's what I like about the poetry style that I gravitated towards, more of that prose, free verse sort of poetry. And so when I decided to put together the book, I read through all of my poems. And I went back and just lightly edited a few things because they're just so candid. I felt like there are just some pieces that could have been worked on a little bit more. But I would say all the poetry that I wrote in like my dollars per notebook, I would say all of them made it into the book. And I think for me, it was a matter of, do I want to just compile a book of just poems? Do I want to organize it in a certain way? And I went back and forth quite a bit, because I've seen some poets just include like a collection of poems, and it's great and it's beautiful. The first poem that I wrote was called Eternal Summer. And it was a poem that I wrote about somebody that I met very briefly and unexpectedly, had a very fleeting romance. And that poem really started the beginning of the book, because it was just, I think I was being really vulnerable with that experience. And I allowed myself to explore that relationship, knowing that it was going to be brief. Mm-hmm. And so that poem really captured everything that I felt. Mm-hmm. And I called it Eternal Summer. It didn't take place in summer, but it was just how I felt about that person, how everyone has such great, mostly positive experiences about summer. And they're so personal to us as well. But usually when you think about summer, you just feel that magic, that anything if possible sort of feeling. And everyone's just generally in a better mood in the summer because it's sunny and there's great weather. And so then I came up with the idea of maybe dividing it into seasons. Yeah. And it just naturally fit. Like summer was when I met this person. Everything is great. Sunshine and rainbows. Then it ended. And it fit with autumn and winter and what those seasons represent. And then spring, actually, I wasn't sure how to wrap it up and end the book. I really liked the idea of the seasons, and I felt like it made sense just when you read the actual book itself. And so I paused it for a second. I said, was spring just about me and like that relationship with myself? I didn't know what that looks like. And funny enough, I actually ended up meeting somebody that I was ended up being in a relationship with for a few months, and very unexpected, but I decided to write just some poems about how I was feeling about that relationship. And I was on the fence. Do I want to include this in the book? Do I want to make it all about dating and relationships? Or do I want it to be about my own relationship with myself? Yeah. And as I continued to write, I realized that it actually fit quite naturally with the way that the book was progressing. And with this relationship, I did learn a lot about myself as well. So it just fit naturally. And I would say it was a very continuous process. And it ended up working out really well. So spring eventually became just like that hope that I have about relationships, what I'm learning about myself, about the way that I even show up in relationships as well. And so that's how the book came to be, and also how I decided to organize it into different seasons as well.
That's very relatable. Anyone can go back, look at that, and be able to feel what you've been feeling and rewards that you're writing. You said when you first started out writing, you felt a bit constrained when it came to other forms of writing compared to poetry, you felt. And so there was this rigidity, this structure, and that sort of limited your creativity. And I just want to ask you, when you have this stroke of inspiration or something's just bubbling inside of you and you have this urge to pick up a pen, is it a keyboard, and just write this poem down? And at that stage, I feel as though you should keep the editing till after that process, because those ideas are pure, those ideas are genuine, and just putting those down. Is that how you approach your writing? Or that's what you were saying that you do? Or how would you tackle that? And what your advice be to other writers out there?
Specifically with poetry, I find that it's just such a different way of writing. And that's what I love about it too. I guess just answering that piece about poetry, when I feel something and I think, oh, you know what, this can make a great poem. Usually if I'm just out and inspiration hits, I just pull out the notes section on my iPhone and I just keep writing. And I just write out everything that I feel in the moment, again, unrestrained. And I'm trying to be a lot better at not judging what I'm saying. Because I feel like even in my everyday job too, like sometimes I have those moments too where I'm like thinking about how it should sound instead of just writing and just seeing where it takes me. And with poetry, I think it's teaching me a lot about that, about just thinking like in that moment, what is coming up for me? And if emotion is very real, then maybe it's actually signifying something. And so I do write very much unfiltered, and then I get out all the emotions. And then once I'm done and I've had a bit of time to process it, I go back and I try really hard not to edit those emotions, because it's vulnerable, it's candid. It's raw and it's genuine, right? And it's, I don't want to feel afraid publishing a poem where I am being really vulnerable.
Yeah.
I did have those moments, I'll admit, where, you know, in my book, especially like in the autumn winter parts where it's a little bit more sad, where I felt when I looked back on it, I was like, oh, I don't know. Do I really want to include this poem where I'm talking about this desperate need to know why it ended? Yeah. And I had to tell myself a lot. That is vulnerability, is just getting your emotions out there. And also knowing that there are probably a lot of people who have been in those moments as well. And being able to create that space where it's just validating your emotions and recognizing you're human. And knowing that it can potentially help or resonate with somebody else as well, I would say that's definitely been my process so far with poetry. With writing, just writing like articles, it's where I got a lot of my experience writing for online newspapers, magazines, all throughout high school, college, and even up until now on the side. It's a little bit more focused on specific topics like social justice issues, as an example, which are hard. And it takes time. You need to do your research. I want to make sure that the way that you write and the way that you string your words, like language matters. So sometimes even the tone can come across a certain way because you're reading it differently. And so there's, I guess there's a, almost an added pressure. And you just, the more you write, the more you edit down your words, where it almost just feels like you can't say what you want to say, but you also need to filter yourself in a way just with specific topics.
Yes.
With poetry, I find that you can write whatever you really want. You can use so much symbolism, euphemisms also, if it's helpful. And it can be interpreted in so many different ways. It's the beauty of it. Yeah. So that's my process.
I love that. That's amazing. So I want to ask you, are you the type of writer who tends to write every day, or is it just when inspiration strikes you? And do you have a routine for your writing? When do you find that you have your optimally creative?
I found that when I'm going through something, I definitely write a lot more regularly.
Yes.
But when things are good and I'm feeling pretty okay, I would say it's usually when inspiration hits. And I try not to put that pressure on myself, especially when you're trying to build that awareness and that brand for yourself. I'm definitely doing that right now on my Instagram page. And I try not to put that pressure to pump out content just to get engagement or likes, because I feel like that then takes away from the love that I have with poetry and being creative, because it's meant to fill my cup as opposed to doing it for other people. So I would say that I don't really have a structure. I try to just be as authentic as I can to my own experience. And it's really random.
Yes. So you were saying that you tend to write when you're going through something, that things aren't going the greatest for you. You might be in a bad situation. Something might be going on. Do you find that your poems reflect that mental state? Because if you're writing and everything's good, then you'd expect your poems to be happier, optimistic. But do you find that when you're in that mental state that they tend to be like melancholy, or they just tend to be a bit blunt?
Yeah, that's so accurate. That's exactly what it is. I think my poems very much reflect my emotional and mental state. And I think for people like my friends or just people who follow me on Instagram, I think it can be pretty apparent and obvious. And I think that's a great piece about poetry, is that it really showcases your journey and your emotions. And I think it helps me heal a lot just by being able to process my emotions in a different way. It's very, very easy to just talk to a friend and just talk very candidly like this. And that's still very healing. But there's something about using visual image or even using color as a way to describe emotions. It's just a different way of processing your emotions and just sharing your experience. And I think that's why I, at least lately, I've been really drawn to poetry, because it just reminds me of the way that music and songs can be cathartic when it's a song that just really hits, where you're like, this really captures how I'm feeling. That's what I try to do with my poems.
Yes. I want to know, when it came to publishing your book, editing it, what would you say was the most difficult obstacle you had to overcome? Was it compiling all the pages together? Did you get feedback on your poems while you were creating your book? Did you send it to friends, family members, ask them for their opinion? And was there any feedback that you got that you thought that it doesn't match what I would love people to look at my poem and what I think it's not, their feedback isn't matching up to what I originally thought about my poem? And how do you go about taking negative feedback and turning it into something positive?
I think when I was in the final stages of uploading my manuscript to Amazon, I reached out to a friend who I worked with in the past in terms of just editing my pieces. And he has so many great insights. And so I really trust his opinion. When he has shared his feedback, he noted that summer, autumn, and winter were very cohesive. If you don't know the context behind the poem,
yeah,
you can understand it and follow it in a linear fashion. And then from winter to spring, it just ended really abruptly. And it was something that was actually really helpful to get his second opinion, because when you're in the process and you're really in it, it's really hard to take a step back and know what you need to work on. When he pointed that out to me, I like reread it, read through all the poems, and I realized you're actually right, because spring was a very short section. And I think going back to what you're saying, with spring, I was really happy in the relationship that I was in. It was very unexpected, but I was at a really good place. And I didn't really have that much to say. I was really happy and I had some poems that I shared, but I didn't feel the need to have to churn out poetry. And like for me, like it's always like quality over quantity. I didn't want to just pad my book just for the sake of it. But I really took it into consideration and I was reading some of the poems and it just, I feel like it just skipped towards the end and there wasn't any kind of layers of context in between spring. It just went from really, really sad to then I'm happy and then over. And so when I went back and read it, I just thought, you know what? There could be some pieces where I might be able to fill that in a little bit, just give it a little bit of meat, for lack of a better word. And so I added just a few poems. It wasn't like, and I was very mindful that I don't want to add like 20 poems just for the sake of it. I added, I think, 4 or 5 poems just to round it out a little bit more. And then went back, reread it, and then I felt good about it, sent it back to him, and he kind of shared the same feedback. Yeah, it actually works a lot better. That being said, he did tell me, take it with a grain of salt, right? I'm also not a poet, too. I'm just reading it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's that piece, too, where it's like, when people give feedback, it does take a lot of courage, and the feedback is always there to help you. And so I didn't take it personally, but I think when he raised that, I was like, oh, it's another thing to think about. I'm not sure what that looks like. And I think also with feedback, it's really personal in a sense that you can choose to take it or not. And I think that's the big piece that people need to remember. Mm-hmm. Personally, I would always take it, but is it helpful? And is it applicable to what you're doing? And in this situation, it was actually really helpful to get that second opinion as well. Yeah. And so I really appreciated that he took the time to review it, because I think it really did help in the end.
No, I love just seeking feedback from your friends and people who can give you a different look on your poetry, because once you've immersed yourself in your writing, it's hard to see things from someone else's perspective and just get fresh eyes.
Yes.
So that's amazing that you went and you sought his feedback and you applied it. I want to ask, when you were compiling your book, putting everything together, did you have a target reader in mind, or did you try and tailor your poetry and your writing to fit a certain audience and aesthetic? Maybe it was just your entire poetry. Were you planning to write it for this audience?
That's a good question. I think looking back now in hindsight, I think there's a couple of things that I could have thought about previously. But because this was a passion project for me, I actually didn't consider specific audiences in terms of like demographics or age range.
Yes.
I have actually always wanted to publish a book. And for years, it's always been on my bucket list. It was more just, okay, I just want to publish this book and check that off my bucket list. And I think the beauty of self-publishing is that you can publish as is. Where if you were to seek out an agent or a book publisher, from my understanding, it's a bit of a more rigid process.
Yeah.
You wouldn't really have that much creative control. So for the design of the book, as an example, I have an incredible coworker who I work with, super talented. And because I've worked with him and I'm familiar with his capabilities, I asked him to design the book for me.
Yeah.
And we were able to really cater it to what I wanted it to look like as well. And I'm not sure if that's something that would be possible if it was a more formalized publishing house, as an example. And so to answer your question, no, I didn't think about any of these things. It was really just about publishing that book and then just being able to self-promote it the way that I want to, which I've been exploring a lot right now on Instagram.
Yes. So I wanted to ask you about the book marketing and even the cover design. What did you do for your cover design? And did you test different covers? And also on top of that is just, what are you doing currently to try and promote the book to get readers?
Yeah, with the cover, I never had a specific vision in mind. I was going off of a lot of the poetry books that I've seen in the past that are popular in style. Like you see a lot of the line drawings, and that's something that I just really resonate with. I'm somebody who is drawn to just very minimal, simplistic sort of designs. And so that was actually what I had pitched to my graphic designer. And I had sent him a draft of all the poems. And so he got a sense of what the poetry was about. And I think that helped him build the concept and a draft for me. And in between the books, actually, I was thinking of having just a couple images here and there. Really, again, very minimal. I was pretty open in terms of getting my graphic designer's feedback. I really trust his opinion and his vision. And we've worked together at our current job as well. So it was really helpful in already knowing his skill sets and capabilities. So the front cover is very much a sort of blush pink color. And it has two stock images in between. And it was very intentional because the title called In the Space Between. So there's a black and white image of a rose, a single rose in a vase. And on the right-hand side is a bit of a hand reaching out. And then there's a literal space in between as well. And it's just a simple image. But when I saw it, I immediately was like, this is it. This is exactly the cover that I'm looking for. He had drafted it up so quickly and it was only one concept. And I was like, I love it. I don't need to change anything. This is it. And he didn't even need to describe it to me, but he was saying, like, I chose blush because there's so much vulnerability in the poem. There's a rawness to it. And I really wanted to capture it by using more of a light color. And I immediately was like, I totally get that. And it fits so well. And I was so happy with the result. And within the books, the pages itself, he actually suggested adding images to each one. And initially I was like, oh, we don't need to. We can just have a couple of line drawings here and there. But I think having those images and that beautiful imagery, it just really ties the book together. And I was really pleased just with the overall process. And I'm really glad that we made it in color because I initially wanted it to be black and white.
Yes.
And I think just for my first book, he really encouraged me to just put everything into it. And I'm really glad that I took his advice on that. And then, sorry, your other question was about marketing?
Yes, the marketing. So what are you doing currently to attain readers?
I've been experimenting a lot with paid ads on Instagram. And in hindsight, I wish that I had published, but I did all that after the book was published. And so I spent some time just having a lot of content on my page. And when I ran my first ad for one poem, it did really well. It brought a lot of people to my profile, but it didn't actually result in a lot of follows.
Yeah.
And if you're wanting people to buy your book, like personally for me, I like to go on people's pages and just see their work and their content. So I spent some time in March just really pumping out content and just filling my feed as much as I can with my poems. Because I want people to be interested. I want people to be able to read my work and actually like it. Because that's also what motivates people to buy a book. So I've been doing that. And then I've just been running ads and just taking a look at what performs well. It's always just reassuring when you see people like actually save or share your content. And I'm always just interested when I see a certain poem performing better than the other one. Because for me, like I might like the other poem that's not doing as well. And then there's another poem where I'm surprised that like it gets so much engagement. There's one poem, I think it's called Desperation, and it's really just about the online dating experience. And I just had a couple of lines and I mentioned swiping, another swipe for you. And it actually did really well. And I was surprised. But then I also thought that maybe that poem just resonated with people because of the world we live in today with online dating. And just all of the difficulties just navigating that, right? It's not as fun as it used to be. It's becoming frustrating for people as well. I think that could be the reason why. So I honestly, I've just really just been experimenting and trying to have a lot of fun with it as much as I can.
It's funny how once as a creator, you create all this content, you create these prompts, and what you think other people might resonate with is completely like vastly different from what they actually resonate with. And you wonder, how do I connect the dots here? Like in my head, this one was the better poem, but.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's also that moment too, where I'm like, should I be writing more poems about the online dating experience? And I could, but I also have also made sure to remind myself too and check in, okay, what am I doing this for? Is it to get more follows? Because that's great. People are like aware of my poetry and that might result in book sales. But am I doing it just for that? Or am I doing it because I genuinely really like it? And I think because I'm still so new to it, I'm mindful of not being so caught up in numbers. And because they can become really stressful. And then once you focus on money and engagement and likes, it just becomes something completely different. And I never want my creative process to be tainted by that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm just taking it as it goes and also just reminding myself of what I'm doing it for.
Well, I love that. That's just staying authentic to who you are. And why you started writing in the first place is something that all writers could take away from this. I want to ask you now, are there any social media channels? You were mentioning your Instagram. You have a website link, or is there a place where people can buy your book?
It's mostly on my Instagram. It's on my link in bio page where people can buy my book. Right now, that's really the only channel where I'm like actively promoting my poetry.
Yes. So thank you so much for joining us on this episode. If you're listening, please do check out Vivian's poetry. Go give her some support, show her some love. And if you like this podcast and you want more episodes, please share it with a friend and family member. Thank you so much.
It was lovely being on your show, and I appreciate it.